As seen on the pages of Vanity Fair, British Vogue, and GQ, the streetwear line Corazon Co. is a women-owned, modern, bold, and eco-conscious streetwear label designed by Corazon in Portland, Oregon. The brand focuses on creating stylish, comfortable, and ethically sourced apparel while incorporating unique ways to educate about sustainable fashion and why it's so important. Corazon Co. is more than just a brand. It's a movement, and available now is the 2022 Fall-Winter Collection FTGAF. I'll leave it up to the designer to explain the meaning of that acronym. First of all, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about your designs.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
And I understand that you do eco-conscious streetwear?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Like a modern, bold streetwear that is comfortable and I make sure is ethically sourced. And I also partnered with a reliable network of sustainable suppliers that have in-house experts who craft every handmade product. So it's a made-to-order business model to allow me to operate with minimal environmental impact. And they also, my suppliers, with the inks that they use Eco Passport by, I always mess up the pronunciation, but it's like Okotex Certified Ink and Standard, which is a certification from SGS Printing. So with zero inventory and ethically sourced materials, I try to eliminate the environmental risk by excess stock and mass production.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Yeah.
I'm looking at your Instagram, and I'm assuming these are all your designs that I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Greenwashing. Explain greenwashing to me. That means like eco-friendly washing instructions or something?
No, greenwashing is more of a marketing tactic that a lot of companies use. So, which means like, you know, pretty much as I like show to exaggerate positive contributions to ethical and sustainable fashion and manipulate their customers with misleading terminology. So they might not be as eco or ethically sourced, but they're using the lingo with their loopholes to market it that way because it's trending. So that is greenwashing. So it's distracting from the ongoing mass production of fast fashion.
My goodness, you almost did this word for word. I'm like, she has a tag. I love it. Okay, so now that we've gotten that out of the way, tell me how you got involved in becoming a designer and give me a little bit of your background, like maybe if you went to school where and those types of things.
Okay, so designer, I've actually been interested in design as long as I can remember, or at least like the fashion world. And I remember, I think it was around like 9 or 10 when I asked my father if I could go to San Francisco to the, it was like an art school that had a fashion design program that I found. So I knew at a very early age. However, a lot of things got in the way. So I got pregnant at 18, which delayed, like I couldn't go into school when I wanted to. And so I kind of just worked, just a regular like restaurant. I worked at a hardware store for 3 years, and I remember this, but I was working there and I became like a specialist. I learned like, I was pretty much telling middle-aged men and older men how to fix things. I learned how to do that. Became like a paint professional. I worked in the paint department, so I got really good at like the colors and all that. And I just realized one day, I'm like, if I can become like so good at something I don't care about, like become a professional for them, like in a field, why can't I do that in something that I want to do? Like what I'm passionate about. So I got on Google and I just looked up, in Portland, cause I was living in Southern Oregon at the time in Ashland, Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I found Portland Fashion Institute. And I was also looking in my area, but I found Portland Fashion Institute was a school and they weren't, even like as big as they are now. So I found them in 2016 and I drove up, met Sharon. She gave me a tour of the school and I decided to start there in like 6 months. So I had saved up money from the couple years that I, or 3 years that I lived in Ashland. And then I moved up to Portland, and I grinded for 2 years working part-time at Sherwin-Williams and going to school. Got my apparel designer certificate in 2018, and I showed a collection from that. So I didn't know how to sew or anything yet. So I learned everything through then, and I did multiple fashion shows within school. And then I got a job in production sewing after school. And then not even 2 years, I hurt myself with working. I got tendonitis in both my hands. So I was unable to use my hands for a couple months. And had to go on workers' comp. And with that is actually how my business as Corazon Co. Streetwear came. I had all this time, and I just started thinking of myself again instead of working for somebody else because I wasn't happy where I was at that moment. And then I just started playing with the idea. And then I started prototyping. I found manufacturers, and I used my day job to fund the dream. Still am. But within that, I had a career change. I became a developer for professional athlete uniforms for like WNBA and NBA, like athletes there. So I have a skills that I'm learning as a developer that I then launched in June 2021. I launched my first collection and went live after about 2 years of prototyping. So kind of like a long story.
It reminds me of Einstein when he was forced into the patent office and he learned how to become inventor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you had it in you obviously, but you were maybe because you didn't know the bigger plan, you were placed in these situations so that you would ultimately be able to do what you're doing now.
Yeah. I mean, I look at it like everything, like I kind of went off my, I knew at an early age, and then I had to go off path because of life. And then I kind of like just came back to it. But now everything's kind of like, ever since I did launch, 1 month into launching, I made my first wholesale order in New York with, because I also went to Parsons Streetwear Essential Certificate Program online while pandemic was happening because I was lost my job due to the pandemic for 9 months before I got my developer position because of COVID. So yeah, I made my first wholesale order, and then 4 months in, I get an email from British Vogue about having a spot in their magazine, and that was a cool opportunity. So I pursued that, and then so come fall, December, that led into GQ and Vanity Fair. So I had like a first, like a lot of more attention than I realized or I would get. Like I thought it was just kind of like just a side hustle and experiment, but a passion. But like, it's like what I truly want. But it got more attention than I expected, which is great. So then that happened. And then I got mixed with this awards ceremony called the NSMA, which is the National Social Media Awards. And it's a newer award ceremony. They had the first annual one in London last year, and then the first annual one in the U.S. January of this year, which I was a part of and presented an award for the Best Fashion Influencer Award. So I got, because of GQ, they found me through there. And then now I'm possibly going to London in end of October if my scheduling works out to work with them again. So
congratulations on that. That's big.
Yeah. No, thank you. It's a lot.
Yeah, you're a jet setter. So that's awesome. Well, then I won't even ask you what was one of your highs. I mean, you've given me so many.
Yeah.
Unless there's something else you want to mention.
No, this opportunity right here with Fashion Next, it's kind of funny because when I graduated Portland Fashion Institute, I was more focused in, I was still sustainable like fabrics, but I was more, I guess, high end and going with my background. So I'm mixed with Thai. So So all my family lives in Thailand. So I was focused on trying to create a collection using Thai silk and the sustainability of using Thai silk versus other products. But my financial situation would not allow me to do what I wanted to do with silk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's why,
yeah, silk is a, well, you know, they do have some cheap silk.
Yeah. The silk that I wanted specifically.
Yeah.
I couldn't get very much.
Right. I got it. No, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I like that you design for men too. I was looking at your website.
Yes. That's what, one of the things I was really happy where I fell into my connections when I, during my 2 years of prototyping with different people, that this manufacturer, I was allowed to do that. And that's something that was like big for me to just even be able to start doing that, because first I just want to be able to provide clothing for not like, you know, for anybody that wants to wear it, not just, you know, women or men. You know, I would like to, like, also, I also provide unisex options as well.
Well, you know, your clothes are really cute. Tell me what inspires some of the designs on, like, you know, a lot of graphic work on some of the stuff. And just tell me about your designs in general. Like, should I point something out that I like? Or, I mean, maybe you could just give me a generic.
So, like, for example, my very first design actually was from, was doing the Together We'll Rise collection. And so it's a variety of, you know, hands drawn and different gestures that I created when I was inspired for the events of 2020 with all the protests and marching and, like, the movement that was happening. And then just 2020 was a crazy, crazy year of just events. And it just showed that when people, like, came together, big changes could happen. So I just wanted to do something that it was, like, different, and I didn't exactly know how it would do, but it was funny because it became my popular design, or it was my popular design in the beginning that was the most purchased, but it's just, like, a representation of power to the people.
Yeah, I'm looking one of them, the Together We'll Rise. It's funny that you're talking about that one, because that's what I'm actually looking at.
Yeah, I would say, like, that's the one that I guess people gravitate towards.
Yeah.
Which maybe cool. Excites me, because I, like, you know, that was just something in my head that I put together, and I made the camo, actually, because, like, you know, growing up in Oregon, I'm surrounded by camo, so that was just kind of like a generic, like, oh, I'm doing such a niche design that maybe I should do something more broad. And, like, you know, change it up, because I'm like to design bold. So I just, like, played with colors on the camo, but the camo came second after Together We'll Rise.
Yeah. Oh, these are great. I love the way they look. I'm jumping over to the men's now, and I'm looking at the jacket hoodies and the hoodie shirts, short sleeve shirts. I love the very vivid, I don't know what you call that. It reminds me of a graffiti, but it's not graffiti. It's just very vivid colors on the pants that you're on, this the sweatpants that the men. It's the rainbow camo.
Oh, the rainbow camo. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool looking, as well as the Together We'll Rise white lined logo unisex track pants.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I, part of my Pride collection during the first launch.
So let's talk about Fashion Next.
Yeah, so Fashion Next, my collection is pretty much, I'm calling it FTGAF, which is my trademark. FTGAF stands for Fashion That Gives a Fuck. It's a simplified version of my feelings. And because I guess you can say, sustainability and all that is like really important to me, but there's so much more that is also, like, important, like how I design. So as you can see, like, with my graphics, I'm, like, focusing on trying to be ethical and have sustainable aspects to my business, but I also design with, I guess you can say, my heart and what I'm feeling. And so Together We'll Rise, you saw that in, like, the 2020 movement inspired that graphics. And then I did, it's on my Instagram, it's not on my site, but I did a neurodiversity collection because my son, who is ADHD, and, you know, some other things and struggles really, really bad in school, for a while now. So being a single mom and dealing with the school system and the difficulties that they have mm-hmm. with kids that don't fit in their box, inspired me to do a collection to represent, you know, people, neurodivergent, people. So I did like this fun graphic emoji, like with words to, you know, represent that. And I did a fun video shoot for that. So that was a fun collection. And then I got a lot of, reaction from like my brain, which was like, two parts of the brain showing the left and the right. Cause, my son, who is left dominant, he's more like numbers, science, analytical, where, you know, the right, I'm probably more right leaning, where I have like the creative, and it's just like kind of showing in a cool, like graffiti, like fun streetwear way, to bring attention to something that people probably don't think about.
Basically, a lot of stuff too is stemming from your own life experiences, it looks like.
The way I design, and I'm trying to find a cool way through fashion to educate people who don't maybe think about certain topics or are not aware of them, but there's like a cool, you know, there's like, they don't even necessarily have to purchase it, but they see it on Instagram, and this could bring attention to a topic that isn't just about sustainability, but about, you know, human rights, women equality, like women, you know, women empowerment, equality, neurodiversity, you know, maybe like, you know, there's the homeless problems in Portland, like, you know, things I don't know yet on how, but like last Christmas, I had a whole bunch of prototypes. I went out during Christmas and I just handed all these prototypes, like bags, just to the homeless people, because I just don't like, I care about so much. So that just comes back to, you know, my trademark, fashion that gives a fuck. I'm not perfect, and I'm very transparent about it. You know, I'm going to keep it real with everybody. I'm not perfect, but my goal is the more I grow, I'll be able to learn mm-hmm. and I'll be able to do better whenever I can.
Yeah. Well, where do you see yourself in, like, say, 3 years?
3 years?
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully, where I would see myself is being able to let go of my day job and being able to transition at least to a point where I am being able to focus and grow my business more. Right now, I think having my day job and doing what I do is great because I'm utilizing those skill sets, because it's very relevant to kind of how I work with my own business. And I have great mentorship within the company that I am. So I have strong women. Sam Lee, she's Korean-born woman owning like this huge manufacturing, you know, but I'm like, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with what I can say with my NDA, but you know, she's just like this kind of low key power, like boss bitch. And I'm like lucky to have her as a mentor. And then I have people who worked in the industry for a long time, you know, working as my coworkers. So I'm taking up and absorbing all this knowledge and experience from these people. And then hopefully I can transition that into, and I also have the support, the owner of my business. She's actually had a talk with me about making sure that I do not let my day job sacrifice any opportunity because of British Vogue reaching out to me. She didn't want me, because I guess I can say, like, I kind of brush things off or I downplay. Like, I don't try. Yeah. I just, like, don't like to talk about myself. So I was very, like, low-key about it. I just, like, hey, this happened. And they kind of were, like, more excited than I was, or I a showing anyway. Inside, right. I was excited. But, but yeah, so, like, she just gave me, like, a whole pep talk, like to, as a woman to woman. So I really appreciate having a boss like that. So I know that I can, with her support, leave when need be.
You know, it's good to have mentors anyway to guide you so you don't really make the missteps that other people may have because they don't have a mentor, someone who kind of knows the ropes.
Yeah. So, like, I feel, like, really lucky to have that. So I'm taking advantage of that. And financially, realistically, I need the job right now until I can figure out the business side of Corazon Cove. The way that when I shown putting my efforts into it in 1 year, like what I could do, I feel in 3 years I could, if not transition completely, at least be in that thought space of getting a better manufacturer for one. Mm-hmm. And I'm also working on that too. So I'm working with a different manufacturer that I currently am using, where I'm like having video conferences, seeing their workspace, and I'm didn't get in time for the show, but I have a new little mini collection for winter that I will be, if it all goes well with this new manufacturer that I've been trying for the last year with prototypes. So hopefully with a new manufacturer and maybe a bigger space to be able to ship from the U.S. would be my goal by then.
That's a good goal.
Yeah.
What advice would you give to any emerging designer like yourself, in this case, a sustainable or eco-friendly or socially conscious designer like yourself? What kind of advice could you give that person?
Advice,
if they're just starting, you know, like a new person who's just starting.
To be realistic with them, that being sustainable or wanting to be a sustainable, eco-friendly designer is very much possible, and you have and should be how it's going to start, because that's the way I feel like the world needs to be right now with the fashion industry being so bad. But to be real with them and let them know, like, the realistic cost of doing this, like, if you're going to do it by yourself or if you're going to outsource, you know, outsourcing, how expensive it is. And if you want to manufacture in the U.S., it's going to be your price point for your market will not be something attainable for the common people, I guess you could say, for the average income target of, like, you know, for me, it would be like 16 to 25, I guess it would be the main target of age group. And like the income that age bracket makes, like, they would have to be on the higher end to be able to afford if you were to make it in the U.S. because one, getting a U.S. manufacturer is hard with your minimum order quantity, and it's just going to be very expensive, so your starting price point will be very high. So to keep that in mind, point that you want, and realistically, if you do want that lower price point, you have to outsource to other countries, unfortunately. But there are options with other countries, at least to start. As for me, it wasn't perfect. Honestly, it took me a while to accept that my first start would come out of China. Mm-hmm. But you work and you do your research, you can find ethical manufacturers. But you do have to, you know, you have to be on top of it. You have to, you know, make your video calls and check in with them and be, I guess, persistent with your product for the new designers. Just being realistic and just understanding what price point you want your product to be at, and that will determine where you can get it made, essentially.
Very, very good tip.
To learn more about Corazon FTGAF 2022 Fall Winter Collection, visit www.corazoncompany.com. That's spelled Corazon Company.com. I'm Kayleen Peoples, and you've been listening to Talk Agenda. This episode is sponsored by KO Publishing Group, the home of Agenda Magazine.